to the podcast for North Decatur Presbyterian Church. We are a PCUSA congregation located in Decatur, Georgia. You can find out more about the church, our service to the community, and our great education programs for children like me and youth and adults at ndpc.org. You can also follow us on Facebook. If you're in the Atlanta area, we hope you'll come join us in person. Okay, that's it. On to this week's scripture and sermon.
The scripture reading this morning is Romans 11, 1 through 2a, and 29 through 32. Listen for the word of God. I ask then, has God rejected his people? By no means. I myself am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, a member of the tribe of Benjamin. God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. For the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. Just as you were once disobedient to God, but have now received mercy because of their disobedience, so they have now been disobedient in order that by the mercy shown to you, they too may now receive mercy. For God has imprisoned all in disobedience so that he may be merciful to all. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This passage is a tongue twister. I have been reading it out loud all week and I still trip over the words. In fact, I read it out loud to my husband a few times, and all I got back was a blank stare and kind of this question like, what did you just say? Normally, the beauty of sharing the word in worship is that we get to sit with it together and untangle it together, pulling at different threads to find key ideas that hold meaning for us in our lives. But this morning, I want to suggest that the meaning of the passage is found in the jumbledness. I want us to embrace this dizzying mess of woven words as the message itself. The repetition of disobedience and mercy could give a woodchuck chucking wood a run for his money. But Paul, in his letter to the Romans, is using these two words together to send a very important message about interconnectedness. In addressing the Jews and Gentiles in Rome, Paul wants to make clear that their fate is intrinsically bound together. Paul's message is that God's plan includes all of them. The knot is not meant to be untangled. And depending on how you feel about your neighbor, this could either be good news or bad news. The good news, of course, is that God's mercy is for all. The bad news is that God's mercy is for all. I'm not trying to make light of the context Paul is speaking to, because there are some deep anxieties among Jews and Gentiles in the Roman church about who is in and who is out. The problem is a belief spreading among the Gentiles that the Christian church has replaced or superseded the nation of Israel, assuming their role as God's new, bright, shiny covenant people. Ones with far less baggage than Israel. But instead of singling out one group as right and another as wrong, one as discarded and the other as replacement, Paul's message is that they are bound together in disobedience and mercy. He's trying to help them understand how they all fit in this tangled up plan God has to redeem them. So what's the problem? Why can't everyone just get along, sing kumbaya, accept that God has a plan and we're all a part of it? What is the barrier to living fully together as God's beloved people? The barrier is that the Gentiles feel threatened by the message that God's love and faithfulness isn't exclusive to them. In verse 25, Paul tells the Gentiles, "I want you to understand this mystery, brothers and sisters, so that you may not claim to be wiser than you are." This hardness on the part of insider Israel toward God is temporary. Its effect is to open things up to all the outsiders so that we end up with a full house. Before it's all over, there will be a complete Israel. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Paul's good news is bad news for those who are arrogant about their own blessedness. These new Christians in Rome are being called out on their arrogance, particularly in the face of tribal and ideological differences. This isn't a popularity contest in which the most obedient wins salvation. Paul is speaking to people who are being very human in their inability to see how each other fits in their growing understanding of faith. This is a very familiar problem, isn't it? This arrogance about our own blessedness or our own salvation or our own righteousness, it feels particularly relevant in a cultural moment where we constantly have to clarify, oh, I'm not that type of Christian. How do we live into an understanding of God's plan and purpose for all people when heaven doesn't sound so good if our neighbor's going to be there? Is it possible to extricate ourselves from the human interwovenness of grace? Can I opt out of the web that ties me to the people who are bringing me down with their problematic theological baggage? Honestly, I don't know. Paul says I shouldn't claim to be wiser than I am, so I'm just going to tell you, I don't know how to make space for people who just seem so wrong. I don't want you to misunderstand me. I am not preaching a blanket tolerance or justification of people and groups who use the name of God to cause real harm. What I am saying is that we are at our worst when we think we know better than God. And what God is telling us through Paul in this passage is that there is a plan for the inclusion of all people. God is telling us that we are all knotted up in a web of disobedience. And God is telling us that being a certain type of Christian is not a prerequisite for God's mercy. This passage, though twisted and tied, is telling us something so fundamental about God's plan to redeem all people. It's a messy reminder that God's mercy is not a reward for our goodness or righteousness. The good news of the gospel is bad news for those who are arrogant about their own blessedness. Dietrich Bonhoeffer calls this arrogance cheap grace, the grace we bestow on ourselves. Costly grace, by contrast, confronts us with a gracious call to follow Jesus. It comes as a word of forgiveness to the broken spirit and contrite heart. We cannot bless ourselves with God's grace, nor can we withhold grace from others. Grace is God's alone to offer, and God offers it to all people, the Gentile, the Jew, the ins, the outs, the faithful, and the disobedient. The gracious call to follow Jesus is the call to respond to the gift of grace, and it requires our humility. Discipleship requires trusting that God knows better than I do what God's plans are. There's a saying in our tradition that Christians are set aside not for special privilege, but for special purpose. God's cosmic plan does not privilege one group over another, but uses all for special purpose. We are bound together. Every day, I feel the tension of this tangled knot. It's inescapable. But I trust that God has a plan to redeem all things. Thank you, God, for your mercy and grace. Amen. Thank you.